Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, Matt's working on Bucknell women's basketball today. So I feel like we're in our fifth game in 5 days. So we've had to go deep into the bullpen.
It's like a flashback today. You can decide whether it's a good or bad flashback.
It's a trip, all right. Okay.
Don't go to the call of the day yet, by the way. I'm right now looking for it.
Nothing has changed.
No. I wanted you to feel as comfortable as the day we started this.
Yeah, I'll come up with something. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
I'm good.
Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle. They are the insurance professionals, the best in the business. The best in the business. No question. And they'll take care of your policies every step of the way. And along the way, they'll save you money. They work very hard at saving you money. So, I know. That is Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Don't worry, I've got the play-by-play call today. Ben Mathurin with the play-by-play call of the day. While I'm doing commercials, I'm finding the play-by-play call.
I had the call ready to go. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Teresa Fede Colonco.
Sounds very familiar.
It does sound a little familiar, doesn't it? I just wanted to let you know that I did have it.
That's great.
Small victory.
Because the last time you did the call of the day, it was somebody dropping a bunt moving a runner to second. It's like, I'm like, okay, why?
It's an awesome bunt.
He puts it down and he moves the runner to second.
It was an awesome bunt. You just didn't appreciate the bunt of it.
There was very little about it I appreciated.
Hey, real quick, speaking of baseball, I want you to know, we used to have arguments on this show about the designated hitter on a regular basis. I am actually looking forward to this season and seeing someone in the nine slot that can hit just a little bit better than the last couple of years.
Oh, really?
I am. Now, maybe it has to do with the fact that the Phillies went out and got a whole bunch of offense, and now I get to see a little bit more of them. That might have something to do with it, but I am sold now on the DH. I was sold last season.
Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos are not strong defensively, but are very strong offensively. So they can rotate those guys between playing in the field and being a DH, and what? I think that means.
Listen, the Phillies aren't a good defensive team anyway, so they fit right
in. No,
they're
not. No, they're not. I'll tell you who also is not a good defensive team. The Yankees are not. The Yankees are not a good defensive team. It's like, and not only that, like, they're a poor base running team. In other words, if you want to teach your little leaguers how not to run the bases, just rack up one Yes TV film after another. They got them there. But they got some power, no question about that. And with all this quarterback movement, here comes the comical one. Listen to this. Deshaun Watson now goes to the Browns. Now, if I'm sitting there and I'm a GM, he still is going to have potentially a boatload of civil suits against him. Okay? I'm not so sure I do that. Yeah, but he's going to move on. Baker Mayfield wanted to go to the Colts. Well, he's not going to go to the Colts. But Mayfield's now available. You've got Russell Wilson now with the Broncos. You got Devontae Adams with the Raiders. And now you've got Matt Ryan with the Colts. It's all over the place. I mean, this has been the wildest offseason in the NFL I can remember in terms of prominent player movement. Oh, yeah, that's right. Mitchell Trubisky's with the Steelers. Then in baseball, out of nowhere, if it's one thing for the Red Sox to sign Trevor Story to a six-year, $140 million deal. The Red Sox have always had their toe in the free agent pool for decades. So it's not a surprise to see them make a free agent splash. Okay. But Chris Bryant signed a seven-year, $182 million deal with the Colorado Rockies. Carlos Correa shocked everybody with a three-year, what, $105, $110 million? I think it's a $110 million deal with the Minnesota Twins. Now, the Phillies have gone out. They already made their big free agent signing. They signed Bryce Harper. They now have added in Kyle Schwarber. They've added in Nick Castellanos. It's the team on the western side of the state. If you are a fan of the Pirates, you're looking around, and the Minnesota Twins signed Carlos Correa? The Colorado Rockies signed Chris Bryant? This wasn't the Yankees or the Mets or the Dodgers that did this. And your team did nothing. The only thing you have to look forward to at the moment is which prospects you're going to get in return for Brian Reynolds. All right. With that, we turn our attention now to Reginald Walker, our mystic from the South. Reginald, always great to have you with us. Welcome.
I'm well. We are. It's spring football time, so life's real good.
Yeah, life's really good. I have to ask you something. I know he was cleared of charges in a court of law, but you and I both know there'll be civil suits. Would you, as an organization, have traded for Deshaun Watson?
No, not until everything was resolved. I wouldn't have, because, and it's something that we're seeing now. If you actually, for those that haven't had a chance to, I don't know the exact specifics of it, but I know the main reason that the $230 million fully guaranteed contract is, for lack of a better term, sort of backloaded, is so that they can sort of minimize how much money he loses in suspension, because they anticipate some sort of suspension as well, which tells me there's probably going to be a settlement, because if you're going to take all 22 civil cases to trial, that's because you're saying that you're not going to be held liable, right?
Mm, right.
And they're not going to go 51 to 49 in terms of the burden of proof, and then you're going to walk away scot-free,
right,
which at that point you would say, I wasn't charged criminally and I won civil cases. Clearly, I shouldn't be suspended. But if they're planning for a suspension, by the way they structured the contract, that says a lot.
But in speaking of which, Sean Miller, who had been the head coach at Arizona, is coming back to the game as the head coach at Xavier, which is where he really got his coaching acumen going. And it's interesting. I mean, I think Xavier expects that he will face eventually some sort of suspension because of what happened in Arizona. But they took a chance on him as well. So I thought I'd throw that in. Some people may not have realized he took that job. So spring football is here. James Franklin talked to the media today. They'll have their first practice this afternoon, as a matter of fact. When you went... What was winter camp like for you, and then what did it do to set up spring camp when you played, to give everybody an idea of what goes through a player's mind?
Yeah, winter was about getting your body ready, right? More than anything. And we do some other things, players only type of stuff in terms of seven on sevens and those types of things to really work on understanding calls, especially for young guys. Now you're hearing it essentially for sort of, if you're a freshman, right, and you were just there in the fall, you're sort of starting to hear these calls again after not hearing them for a couple of weeks, right, because the season's over. Can you react to them again? Do you understand what you're being asked to do again? And so from that standpoint, that's a lot of what goes on in winter. You're trying to get your body ready. You're trying to get stronger, trying to get faster, and you're trying to understand also, right, like what that work feels like for your body. How hard can you push yourself so that when the season comes around, you don't have to, your body's already conditioned and prepared for the rigor. And then spring football, once you get into the practice sessions, to me, the younger I was, right, it was about understanding the process, understanding how to do the work, understanding how to get better every day. The one thing I often say, to give some examples, with the quarterback, let's just say it's a freshman quarterback, especially if he wasn't there in the fall.
Right.
Can he just take a play from the coach and spit it back out in the huddle and get up to the line of scrimmage and get the snap off? Right? Can I just it's about the verbiage. It's about the because you're learning a new language, right? 99 times out of 100, you did not use the same terminology in high school that you're using at Penn State.
Right.
You just didn't. So you have to learn the language. You know, if you're an offensive lineman, you have to learn what the difference in a couple of inches for defensive players in that front seven really means. Is this guy really shading your inside shoulder, or is he head up? Do you have two guys in your gap, right, between you and the, if you're, let's say, the right tackle? Are there sort of two guys in that B gap between, yeah, in that B gap between you and the guard? Or is it just one because the other guy's kind of, so it's the little small things that you need to see that starts to allow you to basically go through the process of, I've seen this before when the fall comes around. And then receivers, sight adjustments, those kinds of things. Same thing with defensive backs. What, you know, is he giving me anything as he comes off of the ball that I can use to decipher where he's going? Those types of things. So it's really about starting the process of the brain calculating the information that you've probably seen on tape but haven't had to execute against anybody.
So with that said, there's a segment of the Penn State fan base that, you know, they want absolute competition for the quarterback job. Well, first of all, there's competition every day. I think that's something that is a misnomer, that people are not handed anything. How difficult is it for a freshman to compete? Now, each person is an entity unto themselves, but in general, how difficult is it for a freshman quarterback to compete right out of the gate for a job?
It can be really, really difficult. As you said, it depends on who the guy is.
Yeah.
But more than anything, the reason why it can be so difficult is because, number one, it's the game's just faster. And then number two, obviously, they're going to do things to confuse you. But I think it still goes back to what we just said before. Can you look to the sideline, get the signal, walk in the huddle, call the play, get up to the line of scrimmage, find out what it is you need to find pre-snap, and snap the football? And what happens is, a lot of guys, when they're really young, the hardest part is just, okay, I got the signal. They walk in the huddle and they go, oh, what was the call?
Right.
And they mix up a word or two, and then they're confused, or they come out of the huddle, they don't know where to look pre-snap. Because there's a lot of things going on. It's moving really fast. And so the biggest thing you have to be able to do, to me, as a young guy at the quarterback position, is to not overthink it. You just got to go out there and just try to play football and execute, right? For a lot of people, they're probably going, yeah, that's what they're all supposed to do. It is different the first time you look up and there's some guys with a different color on and they're screaming out all kinds of calls that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to communicate with receivers and And the other piece of it is how much is put on that quarterback in terms of the protection
right.
in different offenses, right? Because can you walk up there and recognize for, you know, your offensive line which guy you want to use as the center of protection, right? Mm-hmm. We hear it all the time, and it was sort of unknown, and I think it got really popularized in terms of people really understanding what exactly they were saying. I want to say when Bill O'Brien was the quarterback's coach in New England,
yeah,
all of a sudden we would hear more of the mic'd up stuff with Tom Brady, and you would hear him say 52's the mic, 50, whatever the case may
right,
be.
Exactly.
And when you're a freshman quarterback, that guy, the thing I think people don't realize in college football is because there's so many formations offensively with 3 and 4 wide receivers and 2 and 3 tight ends, all this stuff, the middle linebacker, sometimes there's only 2 linebackers on the field, and then there are times where the middle linebacker, 90% of the time, is not standing right in the middle of the defense. And so you're counting from one way or the other and trying to make a determination of which way you want that protection to lean based on where a certain guy is, but he's not directly in front of the quarterback.
Yeah.
Just based on the formation.
Oh, they'll say 52's the mic, okay? And then they'll look over and they'll say, he's up, he's down.
Right.
Well, people will say, well, I don't quite. They're trying to tell the offensive line which guy to take, right, at that point. But I got to ask you about this one very quickly. Matt Ryan has been traded to the Indianapolis Colts. What's your thought on that move by the Falcons and by the Colts?
Matt Ryan is the nicest guy in the history of football. What the Falcons put him through the last 5 days, pushing back a $7.5 million roster bonus for a 37-year-old player who's won an MVP and taken that team to a Super Bowl after he basically, and I mean this respectfully, lifted the franchise from shambles after what happened with Michael Vick.
No question. Yep.
Yes, I realize he had a huge contract. That $7.5 million, I get all that. But he was, I don't know that I've ever seen a player that is about to be replaced be that cordial with his organization the way Matt Ryan was. That was unbelievable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that standpoint, I give him a lot of credit. Atlanta, I get it. It looks like they are making the decision we're going to start over.
Yep.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because they got $10 million in cap relief from Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are they're going to have a terrible season,
yep,
which means from a draft pick standpoint, they're going to be in a good situation. Then they turn around and get Calvin Ridley back.
Yeah.
Right after a year. So you still have Ridley. You still have the tight end, Kyle Pitts, the Philadelphia native, ironically.
And you might either have C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young when it's all done with.
That's exactly right. So now you have your version of, quote-unquote, the triplets, right, or at least a couple of weapons, and you start to build from there. So I like that. Indianapolis is a team that is built to win in the next 2 to 3 years,
yes,
based on what their roster looks like.
Yeah.
So you go get a veteran. They tried it with Phillip Rivers. It didn't quite work. That's fine. Now you just go to the well again.
Yeah.
They got some picks back for Carson Wentz. Now they turn around and use those picks. I haven't seen the exact details. Turn around and use some of that draft capital to bring in a veteran quarterback. We already know they have a star at the running back position and Jonathan Taylor, great, yeah, defensively with Leonard and those guys. I love this trade for the Indianapolis Colts.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you very much. Great to hear you back.
Anytime, always. And getting back to your protection thing, tell the people at home, remember this. They call it Bob or B.O.B., big on big or back on backer.
There you go. Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Be well.
So great to hear him back with us. I know you're waiting for me to say something to you.
You're talking to me?
Exactly. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is the service at Purdy Insurance. Hi, this is Season. While the world is constantly changing, Purdy Insurance is dedicated to providing you with the highest level of service to protect you, your family, and your business. Give us a call today at 570-286-5855. Go to our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Mmm. when car repairs get difficult?
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
I just want to say on behalf of the audience how much we miss Matt. Great to have you with us today.
Me too.
Why, is there a movie you wanted to see?
Oh, I could have gone home early. Can't beat that one, can you?
Truth hurts. Oh, boy.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be. They'll make sure you're fully insured. They'll update your policies whenever need be. They'll do everything they can to save you money. They are the best in the business. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I've already had text messages today about your return to the show. In particular, they seem to really love how you missed the play-by-play call of the day.
Actually, I got one that said our bump music should be Peaches and Herb and Reunited.
You're lucky I remembered the play-by-play call of the day.
Yes, right. I am.
With that, we bring in the legend that is going to continue to grace us with excellence for years to come. I am so thrilled to tell everybody that Merrill Reese is back with another three-year deal. Congratulations, my friend. You deserve it.
Thank you. The funny thing, Steve, is there really wasn't any question about it. I just want to keep doing this forever until they remove me with a crane. I don't ever want to go away. It's just that they've never announced these things over the years. Sure, there have been contracts, but they just decided to announce it this time because they were doing a whole day from a remote location. And I was as surprised as anybody that they announced it. But it did get reaction, I'll tell you that. But it's very, very flattering to know that people care.
And they do care, as a matter of fact. Because, I mean, I'm in the same boat you are. I mean, hey, we get contracts and nobody knows about it.
Sure.
I mean, I know about it. I signed the darn thing. But the part about... Look, they'd have to pry you out of there. Look, you and I sit in similar chairs. I mean, you know, so
sure.
I know when I read that, I'm like, okay, he's talking to me here.
Well, and if you want to know the reason for the 3 years as opposed to 4 years or 2 years or
right.
5 years, my contract goes along with WIP's
right.
agreement with the Eagles. So there's. Gets up in 2024. I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to re-up and that the Eagles are happy with WIP and the network that we have. So it's always done that way.
All right. So Let's get to the part about how much you love this job. What is it about the job, and it's probably a list, that you wake up every day and it's just great to be the play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia Eagles?
You know, it was my dream job when I got over my first obsession. I mean, I always say it was the second greatest job I could have had. The first wasn't very realistic, which I learned by the age of 12, and that was to quarterback the team. So right. Once I got that out of my head, this was the next best thing. But like a lot of us, I grew up wanting to be a play-by-play broadcaster, and I've heard friends and people say, you know, I remember Merrill would come over my house when a game was on the television, he'd be broadcasting it, he'd be pretending, or we'd be playing games in this box ball or whatever, and while we're playing games, Merrill was saying, there's a line drive, and none of that is true. I never did any of that. When I played sports growing up, I played for the joy of playing sports. I played everything, and I loved it. Now, I did have, I don't know if you and I have ever spoken about this, but I did have a mother with a bit of a show business flair, and she was a kindergarten teacher, but to go through college, she had a dancing school. And when I was little, and my sister was little, we were sent around to the normal lessons, singing, dancing, dramatics, all that stuff. And I got hooked up through that with an advertising agency at about the age of 7 or 8. And for the next 3 or 4 years, I did a lot of commercials. I did, there was a Western show in Philadelphia called Six Gun Cinema, and a character named Chuck Wagon Pete. And I used to go there on Friday nights to Channel 3, and they were live commercials. So I memorized the script, and I did commercials for that, and for a peanut butter company, and for a lot of there was a circus show, and it was called M&M's Candy Carnival, and it began every Sunday morning with me turning to the camera saying, "Hey kids, it's time for M&M's Candy Carnival." And on went the show, and you know, my parents took the $37 check and put it in my college funds. So I did a lot of that as a kid. So I did have a little bit of an inkling about the business rather than just the sport.
There has to be a person or maybe a small group of individuals that, you know, the whole world can say yes or no about you, but the ones that make the decision that end up changing your life because of their decision. Who's that person or individuals that looked at you and said, you're going to be our voice of the team, and it changed your life?
Well, that person really was Dean Tyler, who at that time was the... It began about 5 or 6 years before that, because I was at an FM station doing primarily news. And it was kind of a jazz station, but they did news on the hour. And I went to the program director and I said to him, I would really love to do. I think that it would really help the station if we had sports in the morning. See, my shift was noon till 8 doing news, and on the hour. And he said, "Well, this is not a sports station." I said, "Well, I know, but I said a sportscast at 6:05, 7:05, 8:05, and 9:05 would really be a good thing." He said, "Listen, it's not a sports station." I said, "How about if I come in and do those sportscasts for free?" And he said, "You know, sports might have a place in the morning." the two magic words were "for" and "free."
Yep.
And I came in. Actually, I was single and I was living in an apartment complex with tennis courts, and I was the teaching pro at the club. I grew up as a tennis player, and I would do the sports till 9, and race back to the courts. This is in the spring and summer, obviously, and give 2 hours of lessons. I charged $7 a half hour. I gave 4 lessons or 5 lessons and went back and did news all afternoon, and that led to a call from our former sports information director at Temple, a man by the name of Al Schreier. I don't know if you remember
Al. Oh, I know. Oh, I knew Al. Oh, yes.
Al was a wonderful man.
Loved Al.
Everybody did. So Al called me and he said, listen, Charlie Swift, the sports director of WIP, who was also the play-by-play voice of the Eagles, takes a month vacation in the summer from the month of June. Actually, middle of June to the middle of July, and WIP is looking for a summer replacement. And call Dean Tyler, and I will make a call telling him to expect a call from you. Well, I never got through to Dean Tyler, but I got through to his secretary, who scheduled me for an audition. And I went in and I taped an audition, and this was in February, and I didn't hear anything. And the next thing I knew, I figured, well, that's it. I went back to doing my normal stuff. In April, out of the blue, I get another call from WIP, and they said, come in, we'd like you to take another audition. So I took another audition and didn't hear anything. Now we get into June, and I know the job is supposed to start like June the 10th, and I had long since given up. And I get a call, and WIP asked me to please come in. And I'm waiting in the lobby, and Charlie Swift walks out and said, come here, kid. And I said, okay. And he said, listen, when I'm gone next week, here's where you put my mail. You'll be doing the sports from the newsroom. I said, what? He said, they didn't tell you got the job. They had auditioned over 90 people for that job. Because WIP, when I was going through college, that's where everyone wanted to work. Because, I mean, WIP had the highest profit margin of any station in the country. And their mm-hmm. morning man, their disc jockey, Ken Garland, owned the market. And Dean Tyler, the program director, had selected me to fill in for Charlie Swift. Wow. So that was how that part started. And I went back to WWDB, and I was willing to give up my full-time job for 1 month of WIP. Wow. And they said, you don't have to. You can just not do your free sports. Do your sports at WIP, but be here every day and do your news from noon to 8. So I said, okay. So now I go back to WIP, but I'm scared to death because I'm in the newsroom to do the sports at a private at a board, equipment, and in the other studio down the hall is the great Ken Garland, who mm-hmm. I grew up listening to every morning at our family kitchen. Ken Garland was on the air from the time I was probably 10 years old, and to me, and he was a giant, and I thought, oh my goodness, Ken Garland is going to be listening to me do the sports. Nevertheless, at 6:05, I took a deep breath, and I did 5 minutes of sports, and then read the card that said, it's 6:10 on WIP, time for the start of the Ken Garland Show. And I clicked my microphone shut, and I hear nothing for about, now it seemed like 10 minutes, but it was really no more than 2 seconds. And right. All of a sudden, Ken Garland was on the air, and he said, wow, if I were Charlie Swift, I would hurry home from vacation. And before I left the building, they signed me to do the pre- and post-game Eagles show and the Ed Kayak Coaches Show. And woof, the rest is history.
I remember the first day I did play-by-play of anything. It was December 8th, 1977. I was at the Penn State Wilkes-Barre campus, and I did a basketball game. And when it was done, I said, I want to do this the rest of my life.
Oh,
What was your first game that told you I want to do this the rest of my life?
Well, that was probably when I was at Temple, and I was doing the we had a line, Steve, a broadcast line at the Palestra. So I, at the end of my freshman year, I was named sports director and got to do all the games. So we had a line at the Palestra. So we didn't just do Temple games. We did all the Big Five games.
Wow.
So I would do a doubleheader Wednesday night, doubleheader Friday night, a doubleheader Saturday night. And if anything was being played there, we would just go down, plug it in, and do it. And one Saturday afternoon, I did a high school playoff tripleheader, went for a quick pizza, and came back and did a doubleheader that night. I did five games. But I mean, I knew from the moment that I did my first moment, the first game ever, that was what I mean, I knew going into this thing. I mean, once the football dream, the quarterback dream went away, and I realized that my tennis career wasn't going to take me to Wimbledon, I knew that this is what I wanted. And when I would go out to Franklin Field with my dad to an Eagles game, and they were in Franklin Field by that time, I would look at the field, and I'm probably at that time I'm 12 years old. I would look at the field, and between every play, I would look at the broadcast booth and stare up at Bill Campbell, who was mm-hmm. doing the play-by-play, and say that is where I want to be. That is where I want to be. So I knew that was my dream. Now, people used to laugh at me. I mean, in my high school yearbook, that got a big ha-ha, because yep. it actually, it says ambition, and mine is I want to be a play-by-play broadcaster. And, you know, mm-hmm. that got a good laugh from a lot of people. Because, you know, in high school, in the record book, with the record book as the yearbook when you're graduating, they have the class superlatives. So they have the mm-hmm. The handsomest guy and girl, they have the best athlete, they have the class clown, they have the most likely to succeed, the most studious, and I was none of them. If they had had a category in my high school for most likely to never be heard from again, I would have been the winner.
Last I checked, you're the one that's got a Super Bowl ring.
I'm the one who, when I come back to a class reunion, all the girls who I didn't have the guts to ask out on a date come up and ask me to pose for a picture for their grandchildren. That's the big treat.
Oh, that's just incredible. It's just so true. It's just so true. Oh, well, I'll tell you what. You know, I can keep going on with this for a long time.
Oh,
but,
my goodness. It was fun.
I mean, really. I'll say this.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but on a game day, on an Eagles game day, I wake up as nervous as I was in 1977. You know, your first game was, you said, December 8th, 1977. Is that right?
Yep, I was in college, yep.
Well, here's the crazy thing about that date.
Okay.
December 7th, 2077 was the moment that was the morning where I woke up and got a phone call. I was getting ready to go into WWTB, which was then a talk show. It was a talk station, and I was the morning sports anchor. And the phone rang early, and there was a voice on the other end of the phone to tell me that Charlie Swift had died, that he had taken his life. And that was December 7th, 1977. So that was one day before you emerged doing your game. And then I went into the station and did an obituary. And then at 9 o'clock, the phone rang, and it was Dean Tyler telling me that I was doing the play-by-play that Sunday. I had done the color that year, so that Sunday was my first Eagles play-by-play.
Wow.
But I talk about the nervousness that I felt that day when they had a moment of silence and all the players looked up at the broadcast booth and removed their helmets in a moment of silence. And my knees were banging together, and I didn't know if I'd get anything out of my mouth. But fortunately I did, but to this day I am as nervous on the day of a game as I was 45 years ago, because don't get me wrong, once I'm cued and the game begins, I'm floating as you are, and we're just enjoying the game and doing all the things that we have to do to perform a coherent broadcast. But that day, you know, we have numbers that we memorize during the week, information. I've always felt every week it's like going into a final exam. except in this case I studied. In that case, I usually didn't.
That's because on this, you and I want to study for it. Back then, we didn't want to study for other stuff.
Right. Yeah, communication tests were fine, but give me modern world history, and it would be an all-night cram session and hoping something stuck.
Well, I'll tell you what. He and I go back to the days when he was doing St. Joe's and basketball and things like that. Every second, I have cherished our friendship, and it's grown even more so over the years. Thank you so much for the friendship and for being on the show
to you.
Today.
Back at you, Steve. You know, I love listening to you do your play-by-play, and you do a great job.
Well, I'll tell you, if I'm doing anything that's in your class, then I'm appreciative of the compliment. Thank you so much.
You do a terrific job.
You are a Hall of Famer in every aspect, on the air and off the air. Thank you, Merrill, so much for the time today.
Steve, always fun being on with you. I'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
The legendary, on the air and off the air, Merrill Reese. And by the way, the guy that does Shikellamy football is really good, too.
He has moments.
Is this the part where I jump in and say few and far between, or what?
No, they're moments. They're not often, but they're moments.
they're moments. No, you and Chief do a great job. And one of these days, you know, I realize that where you guys fish is like an absolute secret location that you don't want to give up. But no offense, that's absurd. All right, so... All right. That was as fun a segment as I've done in a long time. You probably had to thoroughly enjoy listening to that.
I love listening to Merrill.
He told us a lot of stuff. Now, there are a few things I did know already, because it's not like I've never talked to him about it before. But, you know, I think a lot of people ended up finding out some things about his life, his career, and things like that. It's amazing the twists and turns that you take along the way, and suddenly you get to a spot. And then when you get to that spot, I didn't get a chance to say this to him, but I've often told people about my job and what I do with Penn State. I always thought the Penn State football play-by-play job would be awesome and incredible and beyond words. You always dream of what the job is going to be like. It's even better than I thought it would be. What does that tell you? When your expectation is through the roof and it ends up being better than the expectation, what does that tell you about the job? All right. That wraps it up for today. I thought you did, you know, for the most part, a great job. There were like 7 or 8 foul-ups, but we covered it.
I took the under, and I was in good shape. The line was 15.
Well, I've got you at 22.
Hey, you doubled it by accident.
I've got you 22. And I try to have a lot of guests on to keep the number down. We'll talk to you tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.